Lesson is from Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 5 through 10. Listen for the word of our Lord. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. For several weeks, we have been talking about getting around this life of living a way that God wants us to live. We talked about Corinthians, where Paul was angry with the church there because they had gotten into the root of things about showing off what they got, what they were doing, their gifts, spiritual gifts, instead of lifting up others, they were lifting themselves up. We talked about that and how we all seem to fall into that category sometimes. This day, we talk about what is right and wrong. Because most of us, if there was the title, would have been in the bulletin, it would have said whiplash, because that's how most of us live our lives. We go, 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 go like this, and then all of a sudden we realize everything's falling apart, and so we reverse real quick and we say, hey God, get me out of this. And that's how we live our lives. We don't think about starting with God and getting what God tells us to do. We just run about it until we muck it up, and then all of a sudden we got to go back and fix it. Jeremiah is telling us and all these people for so very much time, this is written at least 500 years before Christ, that if you are not working for God each and every day, if your life is not bound by looking for God's work and what He wants done, what God wants done, you will live like a parched flower or shrub in the desert. And that's not easy to live that way. I would think so. I never was a shrub in the desert, but it sounds bad. I assume it is. I don't like the heat anyway. But we don't always listen very well to changing our lives and the focus of our lives. And as I started reading and preparing this week, it was this understanding of what it is that Jeremiah is trying to tell us more than this. He has those two opposing things that are good. One is good, one is not so good. We see, he puts it right there for us. If you are not with the Lord, if you are not listening to God, listening for God continually, then you will not be able to live a fruitful life. And too much time, though, even though on every bill that we have and most of the coins that are done in this particular country, it says, we trust in God. Not sure that you ever even read that. I don't. But this week, this is what we are all about, is putting our trust in God and not how much we can do. Last week we talked about this problem of being like Popeye the Sailor Man. This week we're talking about whiplash, because they're probably much the same thing. Is it, instead of going day by day by day, doing what we ought to do, listening to God, listening to what God wants us to do, and going out and doing that, We grab a hold of our own lives and we run down the road just as fast as we can, and all of a sudden we find out we're in a bad, bad place. And we almost get whiplash trying to back up, say, "Lord, I thought you were with me." When in fact, we never even thought about God until the things go bad. We were too busy being efficient, too busy being practical. We were too busy doing what we think is the best thing to do. That is not what Jesus came and told us to be and do. It is not what the prophet who was there 500 years earlier said about God. That is not how this works. Mere mortals, if that's who you put your trust in, we are beaten. We are defeated. It is for us only to trust God. So really, how many times this week did you think about trusting God enough to have a conversation and see what God wanted you to do this morning? And the next morning. And the next morning. You see, that is really the pertinent question that this whole passage and the passages have been leading us to for the last three Sundays. Is it about me? Is life about me? Or is life about God? That's the pertinent question. And this is a little teaching here. When you're reading Scripture, and this has been a thing that has been tossed around, especially in divinity schools, when pastors are supposed to be coming up with a sermon every week of every year for 400 years or whatever, that you have to find that pertinent question in whatever the Scripture is. The question that comes to your brain, that is, what are we trying to find out about God here? What is it going to be? The pertinent question. Bless you. But the thing that happens is we forget that in circumstances, whatever the circumstances are, that same passage read another year at another time will be different. The pertinent question will be different. So don't ever say, "I have read the Bible, I know what it's all about, I don't need to read it every day, I don't need to be there." You should be searching Scriptures every day, listening for that pertinent question. What does it bring up? Because it changes based on the situation we are in and the situation God is going to put us in. And He knows that. God knows that. And we need to be listening for that. And as I read this passage this week, I did not really care for the translation of the first couple of verses because it messes up, because they were trying to take the word "man" out of everything. And then they made it plural, which I never have figured out why they did that. But anyway, it is a great passage that tells us bluntly, this is your choice. Do you live your life for yourself, or do you live your life for God? Boy, I can get people quiet. It's difficult. We believe that our life is ours, that we should be making good decisions and going out and doing as we have been raised to do, or as we have learned from college, that we have been so smart now because we've got a diploma or two on the wall, perhaps a doctorate even. We're so smart, I've read the Bible, I know all about it, that's fine, I can write 30-page papers on it. But is that really, really following God? Is that what we are looking for every single day? So where are you in your walk with God? That's what Jeremiah is asking. Where are you? Will you be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots to a stream? It shall not fear heat. It won't fear that their leaves will fall off. Fear will be no more. Are you going to be a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes because you have been looking in the wrong places for relief? If we do not live our lives for God, we will be continually in a whiplash situation, running forward and having to stop quickly and turn around and go back to fix everything that we have not done correctly, or things that we have thought were good that are not. Following God is about listening every day, listening every day for what God wants. Years ago, when I was graduating, I was in my last semester at Hampton Sydney, living in the Pika House, great place back in the day. We had it cleaned at least once a month. It was a really good place. And I was on the phone in the hallway talking to my dad. I'd had two offers to go to work, and I had to make a choice. And one was working in a bauxite mine in Arizona, and the other one was in a recycling plant in Virginia. And I was thinking that the one in Arizona was giving more money, but not much more money. And I didn't know what to do. And I was calling my dad, and I was talking to him, and he listened to me blubber on for a while, not ever asking the right question. And finally, after I shut up for a minute, I said, "What do you think I should do?" And he said, "Which one will make you feel better when you tell someone that this is what you do?" I'm digging up ores out of places and bringing mountains down to level, or I'm recycling things for a living. That's a good idea. I said, "Wow, Dad, how did you know that?" "Well," he said, "I am 55. I've been at this for a while. But that's one of those things you ask continually to God. It's one of those moments when your head just lights up and you go, 'Wow, that's smart. How did my father get so smart so quick? He wasn't that smart when I was a teenager. Now that I was in my 20s, he began to be brilliant.' Because he had been following God's will as much as he could for as much of his life as he could. He understood that the pertinent questions that you should be asking Scripture is also the questions you should be asking yourself. Jeremiah, a prophet, puts it out plain and easy. Do you want to have a place where you can bear fruit? A place when you are given what you need to be successful as a person, not by human standards, but by God's standards? Or are you willing to live your life chasing after what everybody else says is important? For me, I try desperately to follow God every day. Some would say that's your job. You're supposed to do that. Fortunately, it started before it was my job, some degree anyway. And I would just tell you that it may take you places you never, ever dreamed of. You may end up doing things that you never even knew existed that you would be doing, much less think about doing them. But it's a great way to live a life. And as you look back on it, sometimes when you are in it, you truly feel the nourishment, the water that God gives to us to make this life really great. I give thanks to the Lord that He has written down in so many ways exactly how we should be living our lives, not by law, but by feeling and knowing the relationship we have with God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.